Do you love to love? Do you always have your gaze set on someone, hoping, wishing, wanting for it to be the next big love story? Do you feel a little lost at sea when you're in between relationships, not knowing what to channel all that excess energy into? Yeah, this podcast is for you. I'm Carmen Bertlin, and I'm a neurosemantics coach, trained yoga meditation teacher, and I'm also human with all the challenges that come with that. This is my big leap from serial monogamist and notorious overthinker to feeling fulfilled as a single person. This podcast is for you who are on a quest to become so damn comfortable being single that when you meet someone, they're not a life raft, they're an added bonus. Welcome to the Single Best. I'm excited to be in your ear. So I have just come back from a week on the Greek islands. It was sensational. It was triggering. It was eye-opening. It was frustrating and it was fun. I went with a friend who I've never met live. Her and I met on an online course. We hit it off and we've been talking on video call for about 3 months. We're both feeling a little bit meh in March, so we booked an impromptu holiday to Zakynthos and Kefalonia. The time finally came around to meet up in London and board a flight to the sun and 20-something degrees. When a couple of friends told me I was very brave for going on holiday with someone I'd never met in real life, I was like, whatever, I do this all the time. At least I used to in my 20s. I guess age can make us slightly more set in our ways, and it quickly became apparent how triggering it can be to share a hotel room with someone who has a different bedtime routine to your own. Call me geriatric, but for me there's only one 11 o'clock, and that's 11 a.m., most nights I'm asleep before 10, and because of this steadfast routine, I should have, of course, brought a sleepy eye mask and some earplugs with me, but I didn't think about that at all, even for a millisecond. So when my friend had a reading light on, flicking the pages of a book closer to midnight right next to my bed, I lay there trying not to be consumed by hatred. Especially since I know that I wasn't going to say anything. Live and let live is my mantra, and I'm a little too good at it for my own liking at times. I also had to work out why it started bothering me that this wonderful nature child of a woman was so comfortable in the nude most of the time. When I say most of the time, I mean most of the time. 80% of the time spent in our hotel room, she would fling off all of her clothes and parade around naked and totally unfazed by it. One leg bent up on the dresser whilst lathering herself in local olive oil. I came to the conclusion that perhaps I, although semi-comfortable in my own skin, am not all that keen on flaunting my fanny to anyone but my romantic counterparts. To me, that zone has always been rather private, a bit like a VIP club for subscribing members who come in up front for at least a year, or convincingly lie about it. If we ran around naked as children, my mom wanted to always have us wearing pants, so I think a bit of it stems from that. There was a certain shame in being butt naked, which obviously I do not condone, and should I be so lucky to have children down the line, or whatever happens, I certainly would advocate for them running around naked. I think there's nothing as cute as that, and they should definitely not be ashamed attached to it. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with being fully nude, and I salute anyone who feels at ease with that, but it was just interesting to see what came up for me being surrounded by it, sort of involuntarily. I used to work in the spa industry and waxed crotches for a living, so it's not like I'm a stranger to an eye full of vulva, but when someone has come in for a tidy up and a spread out on my massage table, I've had a moment to mentally prepare for it. Same with the Finnish sauna culture. I enter the sauna prepared for what's on display. Now, the first couple of days, I also had to come to terms with being in a completely different rhythm to my friend who was ecstatic about life and ready to immerse herself in the island culture. Her energy levels were peaking whilst I was much more there for some R&R and quiet reflection time. Hermit crab meets social butterfly. That's what we could call our holiday novel. I absolutely loved her energy. She was so full of life and so fearless. Just watching her fly around like a fun-loving unicorn made me think of myself as boring. But once I was done with that, judging myself, I realized this was just where I was. Where was that right then, both emotionally and physically? In need of rest and a bit more space than her. And once I said how I felt out loud, naming the boogeyman, so to speak, I felt incredibly liberated. The thought that I was boring hadn't crossed her mind for a second, and we had a good chuckle about overthinking things and mind-reading, painting the devil on the wall. Now, throughout my holiday, I kept repeating the words, be love, be love, be love, as often as I could, just reminding myself that things are what we make them, and we can change our perception at any time, coming at things with openness, forgiveness, kindness, both towards ourselves and others. And then, like sent from the universe to crack my little shell open, came a lovely soul who I felt very drawn to, and my energy changed from closed-off clam to wide-eyed wonder child. It was a man. Of course, tall, dark, handsome, and incredibly charming, as smooth as they come, and I could have so easily followed him right down that alluring rabbit hole into a whirlwind romance of, you know, holiday style and flown home with an additional bag full of shards of my heart. But you know what? I resisted. There were moments when I wanted to be totally reckless and perhaps even stay for another month in the Greek time zone, but I had to remind myself that we're not 19 anymore. We're trying to be an adult here. And yeah, maybe being sensible and buttoned up gets in the way of a good story or podcast content. But man, was I proud of myself when I boarded the plane home not knowing what could have been. Changing habits is uncomfortable, it's weird, and it can feel painful. But you know the saying that if we keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. Him and I have each other's contact details, and right now we're telling each other how much we wish that things weren't so. But if I zoom out for just a moment, this is a tiny snippet of my life, and if I can look back at this in 5 years and say, this choice was part of a necessary change, I will have done myself proud. Don't be attached to the outcome. What will be, will be. And what's for you will certainly not go by you. So in the early stages of a romantic connection, it is just a lust-fueled cocktail of chemicals such as dopamine and serotonin, the one that's really hard to say, which is norepinephrine, that's all surging through our bloodstreams, and just the thought of being physical with the other person can be intoxicating. And this realm of physical attraction, it's familiar enough territory for me. I'm very comfortable in this space. I know how to work my physical body for the allure, and once a man is putty in my hands and reciprocates with, you know, a dick pic or something of equal measure, no pun intended, I often feel as though I've had my fill. No pun intended here either. But what I really want is a wholesome sit-down dinner. A conversation. Romance. Belly laugh. I actually light up when someone tells me about their favorite holiday destinations or what they would choose as their last meal on death row. I want to know a person. Not just their weight and their size. I know I have a big potty mouth at times and I'm quite open and vocal when it comes to sex, but it's an armor. I've used it for as long as I can remember. It protects me from being fully seen, fully open and vulnerable. Very few men reject sex, and I don't want to feel the pain of being rejected for something more than the skin deep, like my personality, for example. God forbid. So I want to be wifey, and I'm still acting like someone who's cool with whatever. I'm boundaryless and easygoing most of the time. And then I dare to get disappointed for not getting my needs met for a meaningful and deep connection. And that's obviously confusing. And it's not exactly fair on the man either. A man who simply responds to whatever cues have been given and just following suit. You know, men respond to clear instructions very well. So we have to tell them what we want. So if we sort of lead them down the garden path with sending, I don't know, naughty snapshots, and he responds with a close up of him holding his dick, we have to specify what would make us happy instead. So why is it so difficult for me to say, I'd like to get to know you better and spend a few more dates with our pants on, know about your fears and loathing? Do our values even align? What is your take on the sweatshops in Indochina? Do you have unresolved conflict with your father? But, you know, we don't want to come across as needy. Rushing into sex is often easier than expressing all of that. And even if it leaves you with an unsatiated feeling afterwards, especially if you discover he isn't the spooning type, and that is perhaps the thing you looked forward to the most. Now I've got a newfound guru who my friend who I went to Greece with found while we were over there. She's got, she's an author. She's written some books that I haven't tucked into quite yet, but she's got a podcast as well. And her name is Brianna Wiest. I think it's pronounced Wiest, West. W-I-E-S-T. Correct me if I'm wrong. She says that the things we struggle with the most are the things we're here to master. So that's a good one to remember. And that encoded in the breakdown is what you need to know in order to make a breakthrough. So I'm going to repeat that. Encoded in the breakdown is what you need to know in order to make a breakthrough. This is why so many rave about journaling, reflecting on the pain to gain perspective and hopefully learn from our behaviors and dust ourselves off and try again. Have you ever had what felt like a breakthrough moment after a rough ride? Suddenly it's like the sun breaks through the clouds and, you know, you hear that gospel choir. No, but things suddenly feel really clear all of a sudden, and you feel so light that you almost levitate. I had a morning like that last week, and it felt like I shed some dead weight. It was almost like a snake shedding its skin. I jumped out of bed and I had to strip my bed completely. I just felt like I wanted to rebrand everything, out with the old and in with the new. And, you know, if I didn't live by an ocean, that's at present a sewage pit for southern water. Shame on you, southern water. I would have gone for a cleansing swim. And these things, we can't force this sort of clarity. I feel like I've been waiting for what feels like a long time for things to just make a little bit more sense, and they just haven't. But all of a sudden I had this aha moment and I just ran with it. And of course, there'll be moments when I revert back to old patterns again, but it's pretty exhilarating when we just see so clearly what we've been doing and just go, you know what? I want to do things differently from now on and forge a new path. So what I sort of discovered, or what I had this a vision of, or metaphorically saw, was kind of like transitioning from one stage of life to the next. And, you know, I talk about up-leveling and becoming the best versions of ourselves. But that word up-level isn't really correct in the sense that you know, if we think about it as being higher or leveling up and being better, then the view of it becomes a hierarchy. And I don't think that's appropriate. So to even out the playing field here, I like to see transitioning from one stage of our lives to the next is going from room to room. It's a bit more David Lynch-like. So right now, I feel like I'm stood in a foyer between rooms. And the door behind me is wide open. And I can go back in there whenever I want to. But I feel like I've already outgrown the furniture that's in there. The chairs are too low and I can't fit my long legs under any of the tables. And the beds are most definitely too short. And my feet are hanging off the foot end. And I really, really want to enter the room where the door is ajar in front of me. But the discomfort of what I know from the previous room is still more comfortable than the fear of the unknown waiting for me in the next room. So do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been in this space? I got this sense. I was watching TikTok video of some just amazing men having conversations. It was Stephen Bartlett interviewing someone. I can't remember his name, but he was, you know, he was incredibly attractive and he was very well-spoken and he was emotionally intellectual and just said some wonderful things about choosing a partner who's emotionally fit. So meaning that they can handle all sorts of conflict when it arises and just, yeah, that they're strong and holding a nice space for you. And I was like, oh, I know exactly that that's the kind of partner that I want. I just long for someone who's like this sort of kind, loving, respectful, and who works on themselves and supports me emotionally in a way that makes me feel energized and motivated in their presence. And we can do that for each other. And I just really felt like, okay, that guy is in the next room, or perhaps the next one after the next, you know. But once I'm willing to take the leap and voice my needs out loud and do the work, then maybe I can enter. Because we have to be what we want to attract, after all. And I want to attract someone who isn't hiding away from their feelings or struggling to talk about things when shit gets hard. So yeah, this is what I was feeling and I felt it so intensely. And I was like, I just have to just let go of this bullshit that I'm doing. Just procrastinating and still dabbling in this old stuff that's not serving me anymore. You know, do you know what I'm trying to say here? You know, sometimes you just like you know what you're trying to say, but saying it is a whole other matter. So I'm hoping that this is making sense. Let me know if it doesn't. Anyway, my friend Jean-Pierre de Villiers, who is coming on the podcast next week, and I'm super excited about it. He's a high performance coach. And we've known each other for nearly 20 years. He posted this beautiful quote the other day that went something like this. I want to meet people who speak the same language as me, so I don't have to keep translating my soul. And this is, of course, emotional language that we're talking about, because the verbal language matters much less than the emotional does. And ultimately, we all long to be seen, heard, and understood. So that was such a beautiful quote, I thought. Now, if you have been single for a while and you become so used to your own space and, let's say, life on your terms, you do run the risk of feeling discomfort when having to compromise, like, you know, I did on my holiday to Greece. And having to accommodate for another person with their own habits and routines, it just, yeah, it can be challenging. And someone marrying these together is the most, you know, we want to do that in the most effortless way possible. If you, in addition, aren't big on conflict, feelings will surface. And this is where it can be interesting to awaken the witness, as we call it. Pause, take a breath, and observe what's coming up for you. If the person sharing the space with you likes to play music first thing in the morning, maybe you like quiet for the first couple of hours or until you've had a coffee. Unless it's, you know, Tibetan monk harps or pan flute, it disturbs your inner harmony. What arises and how can we address this without rocking the boat? Can we come to some sort of compromise? And it's this thought alone that makes me fear even thinking about cohabiting again. And of course, I want to live with someone I choose as a life partner. But what this holiday showed me is that I do have to work on this. And the work on communicating my needs just seems a bit of a hurdle at times. But yeah, it's absolutely necessary. And I think this comes back to the whole, the things that you struggle with the most are the things you're here to master. So let it be somehow shown to me how to do it. It honestly feels like a frog in the throat. And I've been thinking back, like, where is this stemming from? So I need to really dive deep and look at that. Like, where did this start? When was it unsafe for me to express my needs? When was the first time that happened? And, you know, sometimes realizing all of this is daunting and frustrating. We want to expedite our lessons so we can function as effortlessly as possible in relation to others. But like my lovely dad says, it hurts when buds break. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way by having uncomfortable experiences and the little insecure child inside us in the driver's seat. Now, there is a part of me that's worried that I'm no longer equipped to reside with someone that intimately again. But that, of course, is just a story that I'm telling myself because people are different. And just because we find it strenuous to bunk up with one person doesn't mean it's so with the next. I can list a handful of people who I can be in close proximity with for a week at a time without such inner conflict as this trip away showed to me. And, you know, some people you just know each other's rhythms and you sync with them. So, yeah, keep the hope up. Definitely. Don't create debilitating stories is probably the best advice I can give on that one. So I recently decided not to drink alcohol in the same way that I have been. I haven't been a big drinker since my 20s anyway, but it can be enough of a setback to be what's referred to as a middle lane drinker if we really want to explore what it's like to be the best version of ourselves and to live to our fullest capacity, which would be pretty exciting if you ask me. I listened to an interesting podcast episode with Dr. Rangan Chatterjee and Andy Ramage called The Surprising Truth About Alcohol that made me want to take on this challenge solely for myself. And it has to be said, though, that sometimes going deep and talking about fears and feelings can be quite draining on the nervous system. And because this holiday that I went on was very much like that, it was a wholesome getaway where we were really open and vulnerable with each other. And staying sober in addition was somewhat of a challenge at times, for me personally anyway. There were a couple of times when I was craving that familiar surge through my bloodstream and just to take the edge off. It's a form of an escape, right? Just like social media scroll, we can cushion ourselves from reality a little when it gets too close for comfort. But there was one sunny evening when we were having dinner seaside in Assos on beautiful Kefalonia, and we decided to have an Aperol spritz and then another because the first one went straight to our heads and we had more of a laugh than we had since we left London. And I remember how important it is to have a balanced life and not take ourselves too seriously. I want to be able to let my hair down every now and then. So now I'm, of course, wondering whether I can be my best self and still have a drink on occasion. So and watch this space as new revelations unfold, always a work in progress. As per the instruction manual of life. Thanks again for tuning in and for helping us to get to nearly 1,000 downloads worldwide since October last year. If someone said to me, you'll have 1,000 listeners in 6 months when starting this podcast, I would have been pretty stoked. And I am. Thanks for all the reviews and the ratings as well. I'm beyond grateful. I haven't been as regular in releasing episodes as I openly admit to struggling with consistency in most areas of my life. So I have to figure out a way to be as consistent with this as I've become with the gym. I know that keeping up with it will make it work like a muscle. And before we know it, something has become habit. Until next time, guys, lots of self-love.